Blog Talk Radio.
She'll be on with us in a minute, but tonight we're going to be talking about another important subject, important topic, and we're going to be focusing on premarital financial counseling. Now listen, all of you who are pastors, all of you who are individuals who know that this is such an important topic, I'm going to ask you to jump into the conversation. I can't tell the stories like you tell the stories. I can tell you what God has given me and my thoughts on this subject matter. So we want to hear from you. But Mama, are you with us? We want to know if Mama's with us this evening. And as soon as she comes in, she'll let us know. We had some technical difficulties a couple of weeks ago with Blog Talk Radio. But we're gonna go ahead and get going with the show tonight. So if you are joining us for the first
Can you hear me?
Yes, Mother, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you.
Matter of fact, Mama, just go ahead. We're going to let Mama just say what Mama wants to say right now. Go ahead, Mama.
Well, I apologize for being late, but good evening to you, Dr. Dunlap, and good evening to my PRF family. And so, again, I want to thank you for being with us this evening, and enjoy the show.
Thank you, Mama. Well, listen. All right, so if you're listening to us for the first time and you want to join into this conversation, a serious conversation, we want you to just feel free, dial 347-215-7934. This is the number that you can dial into the PRF table every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so we're going to get started. Mama, listen, we came to this subject because we know that it's important. And all we're trying to do, all we really desire to do is for people who are about to engage into this sacred act, as so many and others have done before, to really just to try to be able to help them. I was talking to a pastor earlier today, not too long ago, and I said, listen, this that God has given is not about those of us, Mama, who are already married. This is about those who are about to take this leap, that are about to go where most of us have taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the past already. And I can't say with all certainty at all that finances was the reason for why many of us have not got it right the first time, why we've had so many of the challenges the first time. But what I can say is when we look at the statistics, when we look at the data continues to tell us that there are some problems when it comes to finances within marriages. And here's what we know here at PRF, Mama. We understand that finances is just the overview. It is the one of the things that people say, this is what's going on. The fact that you don't have any money in the bank, it may not be a financial issue. It's not a money issue, right? The money's not in the bank. The issue may be that how you handle the money that's in the bank, and then how you go about handling when there is no more money inside of the bank. So again, we have to be real with people. And here's where I want to just throw out here, Mama, because I think it's relevant. Remember years ago, there was these little wristbands, and people wore these little wristbands, and they said WWJD.
Oh, yes. What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? That's what it said. What would Jesus do? And so I want to to throw something out there for us during for our conversation over these next few moments is, what would Jesus say? I want us to think about what would Jesus say. I bring that in the context of this. If two people are about to engage in this sacred act of matrimony, and let's say Jesus was their counselor. Let's say Jesus was their counselor, Mama. Here's what I want to know. What would Jesus say? Would Jesus say that we don't need to be talking about this? Or would Jesus say, you know what? Because so many have failed before you, Mr. Such and Such and Miss Such and Such, there's a need for me to have to bring something to you. Because if I don't bring it to you, then you may fall into the same traps because, again, I know everything. I know what's happened behind closed doors. Maybe everybody else doesn't know, but you are able to get the statistics and see that 60% of marriages are ending in divorce. And I think I said this last week. You know, Jesus, I think, would have no problem saying to folks this. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. I have no problem believing that Jesus in today's time, Mom, with all of the divorce that has occurred, especially within the church, you know, we're supposed to know how to keep these things together, right?
Yeah.
I think they have no problem saying, well, you know what? You can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears, and you can tell the type of fruit that is bearing based upon how many divorces that we have within our congregations, within our individual communities, within our individual households. So this is not to be condemning, but listen, I believe that Jesus would want us to deal with this. Sometimes we can get wrapped around the axle. We can get kind of crazy with it because something is not written in the Bible. But 401k that you have, that you decided that you're going to sign up for, it ain't in the Bible, but you got it. So let's not be crazy, as I just kind of touch on that a little bit for folks that say, why are they talking about this? Well, let's talk about the divorce rate in your church. Why are they talking about it? Let's talk about the divorce rate in your family. Why are they talking about this on the PRF table? How many times have you been married, bro? How many times have you been married, sis? Why are they talking about this? How many pastors are leaving their wives? Why are we talking about this? How many wives are leaving their husbands? It's relevant.
Yes.
It's relevant. And so, again, we want to help people, and we don't have to beat everybody over the head with a million scriptures, but here's what I will throw out there to us. I'm curious. For those of us who have had failed marriages, I'm going to stay right here for a moment, Mama. For those of us who have had failed marriages, how many of us are willing to be totally honest and transparent and say, you know what, money played a big role. I'm not talking about statistics that are on paper. I'm talking about these walking statistics, us, the walking statistics. I'm a walking statistic, right? How many of us are walking statistics that can actually be honest with folks and say, you know what? In my failed 1, 2, 3, 4 marriages, I can be honest with you, my brother. I can be honest with you, my sister, and tell you that that finances was one of the issues. And if we can't be honest with folk, Mama, why are we talking? Why are we saying, oh my goodness, they got this? No, why? There's no need to talk about it. And we have the ability. I strongly hold on to this. Nobody can sway me from this. God has created us to be a proactive people, not a reactive people. And so we continue to see that many marriages continue to end in divorce. What are we going to do about it? See, I say we because it is a we problem. Because, see, it's a we problem when divorce occurs, Mama. And after divorce occurs, then there's a child that now does not have the benefit of having a two-person household, not having the benefit of being able to be reared with two parents in the household, and now it's just one. And so, you know, I hear things in the church such as, the men need to step up. You know that there's some young boys in the church and you need to help them. Well, a lot of these situations come from marriages that have failed.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that. They've come from marriages that have failed. You got individuals, a whole bunch of men. There's more men in prison than there are women. And a lot of men are in prison because of violations of probation or parole, and child support has played a role in some of these individuals getting placed in prison. for contempt of court, which is really the offense. And then you think about it. Well, how does that affect the whole household? Again, we have to go back to, again, when the brother and the sister were actually together, and everybody thought it was good and cool that brother such and such was about to marry sister such and such. Everything was cool. But nobody asked some hard questions to them. And I know from talking to my colleagues that some of the hard questions that I know need to be asked have just not been asked over the years. And so I'm trying to give a little bit of hope today, Mama, through this series. We're trying to give a little bit of hope to some individuals that have not jumped over the broom, that have not placed those rings on their finger. And we're trying to bring some hope to some individuals who have the ability, such as I, to stand before God and man and pronounce these two individuals as husband and wife. We want to bring some hope and say, listen, one, we don't have to do this by ourselves. It's a collective effort. And so I can't put the responsibility on you. Think about this, Mom. I can't put the responsibility on you as the ones who are watching this ceremony take place and say, listen, all you are here, you are witnesses. Well, think about this, Mama. Before he gets to the witnesses, somebody counseled them. Maybe, maybe not, but let's say they did. Let's focus on I'm only focusing on the ones that actually get the counseling. And so before I become a witness to your marriage, there was somebody that was a witness beforehand. And that's the one that's going through the counseling saying, listen, and Mama, listen, I know for a fact. I know what Ephesians said. It talks about husbands love your wives. And it talks about wives submitting to your husbands. But guess what? You know what Mama, this is what they're talking about. It says husbands love your wives. So before you're married, you're not the husband. It says wives submit to your husbands. Before you're married, you're not the wife. And so we say that.
It's good.
But what about some of those other things that's going to help some individuals to submit? It's going to help some individuals to love. And we know that submission and love are two of the, or I won't say main because I don't know that to be true, but submission and love are two. I can't think of the word, Mama. They're two of the strongest indicators, if you will, of why so many things happen wrong in people's lives, why certain mistakes are being made. So we can get in front of this thing. That's all I'm saying, Mama. We can get in front of this thing. We can get in front of it now.
Yes. And
go ahead, please.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, Paul talks about, and I think we've heard it over and over again. God did not, he was saying he didn't want us to be ignorant in the gifts. I mean, that's what Paul was speaking. He was speaking particularly about the gifts. But when we go into Proverbs, it tells us that first you get knowledge, and then the knowledge is the knowledge. You learn how to apply it effectively in your life. But he says, above all, get understanding. So to me, he doesn't want us to be ignorant in anything. So
like
I'm not saying I'm not ignorant in the gifts, but I'm okay. Let's get married. Oh yes, okay. I don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. I love you. You love me. I have a job, and you have a job.
Okay.
You have children. I have children. Now the children not into play in his life because. He told me that his wife doesn't want him to see his children. I'm just using this as an example. Okay, so but once the mother of his children find out that he's getting married, now she wants him to play a role. And he comes and tells me, I said, oh, that's okay. You know, I love your children like I love your children just like I love my children. But now I don't have a clue that you have to deal with this jealous mother here. Yes, and now you have to, and you also have to deal with her, especially if they're young children, for at least, say, 18 years. But you didn't have, that's why we need to get ahead of this.
And here's where I would go with that, right, to not paint a gloomy picture, so to speak. I would here's where I would go. I would go with asking questions, because in counseling, it's a dialogue. You have to be willing to have a conversation. You have to be willing to open up. So the number one question is, how comfortable are you talking to this person that you're about to be married to about your financial makeup?
when you don't have the understanding. That's right. That's why this is such an important subject, because if you don't have the, if you don't have any understanding, as well, which I didn't, sure didn't have any. We just know we loved each other and we had jobs and we know that we could have a place to stay. And that was it. That's the knowledge that we had. We could pay our bills and that was just it. Didn't know anything about anything else.
But could you really pay your bills? How did you know you can pay your bills when y'all not even dealing with everything together? Y'all think about it. Y'all not dealing with everything together. How do you know that you can pay these bills together?
Well,
y'all
in
not
the beginning, no, we weren't. But in the beginning, see, I didn't have many. I really didn't have any bills when I got married, and he really didn't have any bills. But mainly with the rent and the water and the gas, we didn't have any cars or anything of that nature. But getting back to what you're saying, we still did not sit together. It still goes back to what you're saying. We still didn't do that.
But what I'm saying is, and I got you, and what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about what y'all got to do. See, I'm going to keep saying it because it's relevant. There's things that need to be known before we decide to take this wonderful step before God and man. That's what I'm advocating.
I agree with that, yes.
The step, there's some stuff that we need to know. I mean, I just can't imagine. I'm sure it happens on occasion, but I just can't imagine that two people get together and get married, right? And they're planning on getting married. And the question of, do you have any children, never comes up. I just can't see a marriage coming, two people coming together in marriage. And usually, because more women have the children as far as custody is concerned than men in America, I can't imagine a woman not asking the question to this man-to-be, do you have any children? I just can't imagine that.
Well, you're correct in that. We'll ask, but we don't even think to ask the man. I'm just saying, for the most part, because if he never mentions, we don't even, like you said, we need knowledge. And this is what you're giving those that are getting ready to say, I do. This is very good for the ones to have this knowledge.
You give me more credit, Mama, than I deserve. I don't even look at his knowledge. I look at his doggone common sense.
Well, sometimes you. I know everybody's not at the same level, so you know it. You know how it is. Well, see, I'm speaking from a woman's point of view, but you know, we gotta have this man. You know, he's gonna marry me. I'm excited about the ring. I'm excited about getting dressed, and I have this wedding, and who I'm gonna have. You know, we just get. I say women. For the most part, we get excited because that's an important day for us. So the excitement is more on our part. I'm not saying all women, but I say for the majority of the women and the women I've been around, oh, my gosh, you know, the first thing they show us is that finger. When they get that ring, we show them our finger. When we get that ring on it, you know. So common sense goes out the window sometimes.
Not all the time, but... I don't listen. There's nothing wrong with all that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with all that or anything wrong with those feelings or that the bride to be should be happy with the one carrot or the shredded carrot. It doesn't matter. What we're saying is that there's some things that need to be talked about and there's room for both. There's room to be just like you talked about. That's not getting. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm just, again, it's just, you know, going back to that previous question, how comfortable are you talking to the person that you are about to be married to about finances? Mm. And see, the question that I asked is, how comfortable are you? See, if I'm sitting before two people, I'm asking the question.
Okay.
I'm asking her.
I got you.
And I'm asking him, how comfortable are you? I'm not asking you to open up. I'm just asking you. Can I ask you this on a scale of 1 to 10? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I let it all out. I tell whatever it is. I ain't got no problems. I ain't going to hold nothing back. 1 is, man, I'm not bringing out nothing. They just like to find out after we get married. On a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you? If I don't pose that question to you, just like you said, Mama, sometimes people are without knowledge. You may not ever have that the reason to think about that. You may think that everything is said, because I live in my house, or because he lives in her house, his house, and she lives in her house, and everything is good. You come over here when you want, when you want to. I go over there when you want to. But we again, I'm speaking to those of us who have the responsibility, that have the duty, and take it upon ourselves that, you know what, I'm not going to marry anybody until I go through, until they go through counseling. I need to counsel and find out where they are. I'm saying, listen, there are some areas that are just untapped. And I'm not saying that PRF needs to be the only vehicle that deals with all of this, but we can deal with some of it. And we are able to help in this area where some individuals who will participate in premarital counseling, or as far as giving it to individuals, won't even touch on it, won't even tap on it. I was talking to a pastor earlier today, and I wish he could come on, but it was refreshing, Mama, for me to have a conversation with a pastor that says, you know what, a while back they said they have incorporated premarital financial counseling. Now, listen, that's the title of our show. I don't care what the heck you call it, to be honest with you. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, are you doing the work? Are you bringing it up? So regardless of whether you say, listen, in our counseling, we're talking about finances, you don't have to name it premarital financial counseling. We just got to make sure that we're making it available to the people, because, as you said, Mama, everybody just does not know. Here's another question, because, again, we have to ask the questions. The questions need to be asked, and I feel bad for those individuals who are going through premarital counseling right now, and there's nothing being discussed about what we've been talking about last week and what we'll talk about today and also on next week. I feel bad for those individuals, because it is very clear that so many people are going to run into some brick walls if history repeats itself. And so why would I believe that we won't have some of the same issues going on in people's marriages 2, 3, 4, 10 years down the road when nothing has been different about what they're receiving right now on how to be prepared to enter into this marriage covenant? Here's another question, Mama. Again, okay. I asked you the question, how comfortable are you? Let's say your response is, yeah, we could talk about it. It's an 8. Okay. All right, so let me ask a question. So now you give me the go-ahead, right? So here comes some of the I ain't got time to play with this. You know, counseling sessions don't last forever, especially in one session. We may have 10 weeks to go through this, but right now we're not going to be with you for 5 or 6 hours. So I'm going to ask the question. How much money, bro, do you got saved up in the bank right now? How much money, my sister, do you have saved? And see, maybe I don't even need to ask this question out loud in the premarital financial counseling session, Mama. Maybe I'll ask this question on a piece of paper and I ask them to write it down.
Yes.
Maybe that may be need to be their approach, depending on how comfortable they say they are about talking about finances. And so I let them write that down, and she says, okay, in my bank account, I have $2,000 saved up. And he says in his bank account, he has $800 saved up. Ding, ding, ding.
No.
I tell y'all, depending on where you live, Jack, that may be a red flag. You can't be up in Philly thinking you're going to make it too far with only $2,000. I ain't saying a savings. I just say $2,000 saved up. And a lot of times, here's what we do know. A lot of times people have their money saved up in their checking account. So when I ask that question, Mama, a lot of people are talking about what they have in the bank, not necessarily in a separate account. They're saving for emergencies, where they're saving for their vacation, where they're saving for the honeymoon. It's all wrapped up in the one. So that's a good question to ask. How much money do you have saved up? Brother Carter, God bless you, sir. Good to see you. How much money? Somebody have a comment, Mama. I want to make sure I get this comment. The couple sees premarital average about 2 months prior to marriage. Is that enough time to get finances in order? Heck to
no.
It's not enough time. Because, and let me tell you why that's a problem. Got about 2 months, right? We're going to start talking about this 2 months before, I don't know, where we're in June. We're going to talk about this about 2 months prior to the engagement. So it's June 21st, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to just get into this, and now we're getting ready to get married. We already have the date set, Mama, for August the 21st.
I don't
know what it is. I'm not going to try. But here's where I know is problematic. if we already about to get married on the 21st of August, we ain't going to start putting stuff together for this wedding on the today.
No.
It's a very high possibility that some invitations have gone out, that some plane tickets have been already purchased, that a deposit has been put down for the hall or for the log cabin. It's a good possibility that you've already, as my bride-to-be, started looking for your doggone dress. Matter of fact, you probably already had two fittings, right? It's a good possibility that so many things have already transpired. And here you come to Reverend Dunlap.
Yes.
And now you have time, or now my schedule clears up to give you premarital counseling. And now I'm sitting in counseling 2 months before your time to get married because you haven't already decided when you're going to do this. All right. So I asked the question, how much money do you have saved up? I asked the question, sir, do you have a will? I asked a good question, Mama, and we're about to go. I asked a very good question. How comfortable are you with taking the beneficiary of your mother's as a single man and placing it into the name of your wife? How comfortable are you with that? Scale of 1 to 10. Can you say that openly in front of your spouse-to-be? Same thing with her. She got the real good job. His job is good, but her job is great. And she got a whole bunch of money saved up in her IRA. Who's going to be the beneficiary of your TSP or your 401k or your – who's going to be – is it going to be your husband? Can we have those conversations up front? Because, see, when you start telling me, I don't know about that. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding.
Maybe some things that may need to be worked out. And I say this to everybody. If you think that these things are going to get worked out afterwards, my question is, why do you think that? You're just hoping? Or do you have some evidence? You have something that you heard from God to say, you know what? I'm going to work that out. No, y'all not saying that. You're not able to say that. And so I got another one. I'm going to go back to your thought, Mama. You mentioned the children. You know, there's some things that need to be discussed. I'm going to throw it out here, and then we may touch on it again next week. But this thing of child support and taxes, Jack. Those two things, my goodness, those things are critical. Because if you have a child or previous children, then the question is, can you afford to take care of your previous? See, right now it's just you, brother. And you do what you got to do to make it work and to keep things rolling because it's just you. But now you're taking on this woman. And does she want to have children? So can you handle that from a financial perspective? Can you handle that? Can you handle having to pay that child support if you have child support to pay? And your woman wants a child, and you know this. And when married people get together, they do things, right? They know each other.
Yeah.
They know each other like Adam and Eve. And then next thing, and how much is that going to – can I put a situation in your lap of – 3 months after you get married, your wife comes and tells you, that thing, I ain't seen that thing in about 3 months, baby. You know that thing I'm talking about, Mama.
Yes.
I ain't seen my friend. There we go. I ain't seen my friend in about 3 months. Okay. So now 3 months into, we may go a minute or two over. That's fine. We go in 3 months later, now you know. Now you have to start preparing. Is that the time to start preparing after something just pops up like that? Or should we be mapping some stuff out? If my wife-to-be wants to have children, then are there some things that I need to be talking about right now? Because I don't know when that little tadpole type thing is going to hit into that little egg and then everything is going to be coming around in about 9 months. Listen, what about, do you have health insurance? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Health insurance. So. And what if, listen, go ahead, Mama.
I was going to say, and what if in her pregnancy she has to be bedridden? So that means she can't work for at least 8 months of a pregnancy. I just throw that out there because that is happening.
That's right. These are
now
some
that,
very
that income
good...
is stopped.
Say again?
I said that income has stopped.
That's right. These are some things, and what I'm proposing to us is that this thing is not about being able to have every single answer out here. But what it is about is this, that if you don't prepare, then you're setting yourself up for the okey-doke.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting yourself up for failure. And God does not want any failed marriages. I know he doesn't. I know he doesn't. So listen, we're going to sign off on Blog Talk Radio for tonight. I'm going to keep going on Facebook Live as long as people want to hear this, Mama. So whenever it goes. But listen, I'll say this for those who are signing off on Blog Talk. So prfministry.org, that's our website. We just ask that you come in and check us out. We got a lot of things coming up. We got a legacy conference in Opelika, Alabama next month. We have a credit and debt from a biblical perspective workshop on August, July the 14th. So just go check out our calendar. And again, if you need us, please reach out to us because we're here for you. Mama, we're going to go on that note. I feel good. I think people have a couple questions that they need to focus on. And so just join us again next week at 8 p.m. We'll probably go from 8 to 8:45 next week. So until then, God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Peace.